The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
You should be humbugging with The Way It Ought to Be. If you were tuned in last week, then you realize that we were speaking about God's law and God's word being absolute, and that God's law, His Ten Commandments, have never been recalled, rescinded, or reversed. They apply in our computer age as well as they did in the Garden of Eden when God taught them to Adam and Eve, which He did. They apply today as well as before the flood and after the flood. But mankind at that time didn't want to live by God's rules, His laws, and we don't today either. God's plan for mankind was peace, happiness, well-being, prosperity, obedient children, good marriages, good health. Just a good life was God's plan for the world. And God gave laws, if followed, that would produce all these blessings. Yes, God's laws is a compass for life. That is the good life. But man rejected God's law in the Garden of Eden and right up to the time of the flood, and man began rejecting God's law shortly after the flood as well. God had a few people before the flood and after the flood that obeyed Him, but perhaps 99.9% of the people did not. And we still don't today. And this world is in a mess because we haven't, and because we don't, and because we aren't obeying God's law that He gave to regulate man's happiness and well-being. So God found a man that believed in absolutes and was willing to and did obey Him. So God started the nation of Israel through this one man, Abraham, with the intentions of making them an example by living by God's law and reaping all the blessings of doing so to the Gentile nations, hoping it would persuade all other nations to change their lifestyle. So God brought Israel out of bondage and gave or regave His law, because Jacob and his family of 70 knew God's law, and Jacob and Joseph were living God's law, God's way, before they went down to Egypt, and they continued to live God's way in Egypt. But in their bondage, they forgot God's law and began to blend in with the pagans in Egypt, their religion, their false religion. So God finally brought His people out of slavery in Egypt. God gave His laws to them again and commanded them to keep and teach their posterity His laws, His statutes and judgments. They failed, except for short periods now and then. But finally, they wanted to be like the heathen and the pagan worshiping nations all around them. They wanted to be like everyone else, and that is exactly what they did. Isn't that what we are doing today in our enlightened society, where we think truth is relevant and no absolutes? James Patterson and Peter Kim measured the moral conviction, habits, and opinions of the American citizens in the book, The Day America Told the Truth. This national survey revealed that there is absolutely no moral consensus in our nation today. Only 13% of Americans indicated that they believe the Ten Commandments are binding. Everyone is making up his own personal moral codes. We are a law unto ourselves, the authors concluded. When asked if there were any beliefs that they would be willing to die for, 48% responded no. Asked what they would be willing to do for $10 million, 25% said they would leave their family, 16% would renounce their American citizenship, and 7% said they would kill a stranger. For $10 million, similar answers held when the amount was dropped to $5 million and $3 million. The study shows that our culture is inhospitable to Christian faith if that faith is anything but a watered-down civil religion with a tip of the hat only to God. Our relativism spawns a deluge of statistics documenting a spiral crime rate and sexual revolution with its promiscuity, venereal disease, abortions, illegitimate births, divorce and AIDS, rampant dishonesty in business and government, drug abuse and alcoholism. We have more violent crime than any other civilized nation. Our society is scarred by moral disintegration. Believe it, it is true. Our liberalism has taken us down the road toward complete moral disintegration. If we don't change, we are doomed. A common adage in history is this: the only thing that we learn from history is that we do not learn. The Roman Empire collapsed. The pre-flood world collapsed. Sodom and Gomorrah collapsed. Today, our moral values are collapsing. We have lost our collective sense, haven't we? Philip Yancey wrote recently in Christianity Today, visit any magazine rack and you will see a vivid display of the values honored in this world. Fortune, money, European travel, and life, and their clones present the advantage of wealth and economic success. Cosmopolitan, Esquire, bodybuilder, swimsuit, and several rows of soft porn titles flaunt our obsession with image and physical appearance. Then comes the rack of true crime stories, gothic romances, and soap opera digests that satisfy our society's thirst for unrighteousness or disobeying God, disobeying God's law, which unrighteousness is. It is a fact that the people we laud, strive to emulate, and feature on the covers of those popular magazines are not the fulfilled, happy, balanced people we might imagine. Our heroes have bought into the gospel of relativism and are as miserable as anyone else. What has this so-called freedom achieved? When historians look back on the waning days of the 20th century, what will they say? They may report that our standard of living was the highest ever known. They will say that we were the healthiest generation of all humankind. We lived in a land of freedom and could do whatever we chose with an abundance of entertainment devices. Future generations may believe that we lived in a promised land of milk and honey, but then if they look more closely, they will also discover that we consumed more alcohol and had more troubled drinkers than any previous generation. We ingested more sleeping pills and stimulants and prescription drugs, not to mention the pot, the cocaine, and other mind-altering drugs used in epidemic proportions. They could look at the thousands of abortions performed daily in this country, or the children whose lives were shaped more by the culture than by the laws and the word of the living God. And then I wonder if they would really call us free. Well then, what are the benefits of God's law? God's law, the Ten Commandments, are a compass. They give us our bearings. So many drifting people would have their lives dramatically transformed if they took the Ten Commandments seriously. During World War II, American planes flew from the British air bases to missions over Germany. Finding their way home to base was often difficult because of horrible weather conditions. Churches with tall, stately steeples dotted the English landscape. On overcast days, the American pilots used the churches to guide them home. As planes descended through a gray sky, the churches told the pilots if they were on the right course. Our world is in a moral fog. The spiritual weather is horrible. The Ten Commandments of God's signpost to show us the way home aren't taught. Why don't our churches teach those wonderful laws that would be a compass to everyone's life? God's laws are also a thermostat of love. Jesus stated this clearly when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. You can read that in John 14, verses 15 through 23. In Psalm 119, David wrote, I delight in your commandments because I love them. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble, or nothing shall offend them. Those who truly love the Lord are willing to obey him, including all 10 commandments, even the keeping of the Sabbath. God's law are also a mirror, a reality to give us a true look at ourselves. We like to measure ourselves through comparisons. We can always find someone with whom we compare favorably. Even as children, we were prone to say, but he didn't do it, or but she did do it. The Ten Commandments shows us that God uses a different standard, and we all fall short. That is why the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was necessary. God's law also is a guardian of good. Games without rules are unthinkable. Even worse is a society without laws. Try commuting through Los Angeles or any big city if there are no traffic guidelines. Submit at the hands of a physician who never earned a standard degree, but bought his at a degree mill because he liked the sound of doctor in front of his name. There are some don'ts which set us free. The no's and don'ts that teach children not pick up a pretty flaming coal or play with an electrical outlet or to run in the parking lot are statutes of liberty to preserve and protect their best interests. The Ten Commandments are statutes of liberty to guard your good. Addressing a national seminar in Southern Baptist leaders, George Gallup said, "We find there is very little difference in the ethical behavior between churchgoers and those who are not active religiously. The levels of lying, cheating, and stealing are remarkable, similar in both groups. 8 out of 10 Americans consider themselves Christians," Gallup said. "Yet only about half of them could identify the person who gave the Sermon on the Mount, and fewer still could recall 5 of the 10 commandments. Only 2 in 10 said they would be willing to suffer for their faith." Well, I see my time is up, my friend, but we'll go right on with this theme next week. In the meantime, if you would like to know more about how to live your life and how God's law applies in your life, we have an article you should read. That is, if you aren't contented with things as things are in your life and lack some answers about problems of this nation, of the world, and your own personal problems, and request your free articles, Why Does Mankind Suffer? And ask to be enrolled in our free Bible correspondence course. If you'd like to begin to understand and live by God's Word, you need this Bible correspondence course. And it's free, and so is the other article. And request your free article, Why Does Mankind Suffer? And ask to be enrolled in our free Bible correspondence course. There's no cost, no obligation, and no one will call on you. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle, and thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.